so absolute, there's no doubt. Sealing our love with a kiss, waited my whole life for this, watching all my dreams come true, lost in this moment with you, lost in the moment, in this moment with you, lost in the moment, yeah. Ooh, lost in the moment, in this moment with you, lost in the moment,
words before becoming a political prisoner on July the 1st today. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.
WCBM Baltimore is Talk Radio 680 AM and 99.9 FM in Harford County, Baltimore.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Police around the country stepping up security this 4th of July holiday. The FBI warning conflicts overseas could raise the threat of possible violence here. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in New York City.
Intelligence bulletins obtained by ABC News detailed serious concerns not only about the New York fireworks, but about Independence Day celebrations in San Francisco and in Las Vegas. And a leading concern is that some lone offender is going to turn to violence without warning. But there's no indication of an organized plot. And as the mayor here says, the whole city is going to be enjoying 4th of July.
A Russian court today sentencing American Robert Woodland to 12 and a half years in prison after he was convicted on drug-related charges. And Nathan's hot dog eating contest has a new champ. Patrick Bertoletti won his first victory, eating 58 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Nathan's biggest champion, Joey Chestnut, banned from the annual event after signing an endorsement deal with a plant-based food company. This is ABC News. In California, a guilty verdict for Samuel Woodward, the man accused of killing his former high school classmate, Ivy League student Blaze Bernstein, fatally stabbed in a park during his winter break from school 4 years ago. That murder ruled a hate crime because Bernstein was Jewish and gay. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
The defense argued the murder was a crime of passion, saying the two men had visited the park for a sexual encounter after meeting online. Woodward saying he was worried Bernstein had recorded the meeting and was going to out him as gay. But prosecutors argued the murder was premeditated, saying Woodward even brought a symbol associated with his neo-Nazi group, a skull mask, to the killing, which was found with Bernstein's blood on it. The jury agreed, and now convicted of a hate crime, Woodward faces a sentence of life in prison without parole.
Woodward will be sentenced in October. It's not just the country's birthday today. The Caesar salad is 100 years old. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sounds like you heard about a July 4th sale. It's a great chance to red, white, and do that job you've been putting off. Like an oil change with full synthetic motor oil. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $34.99. Save on oil, wash and wax, and more this weekend at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Staples, young man.
Tomorrow's my big day.
Big day?
First grade.
Aw. Well, you know, Staples has crayons, markers, glue.
I need a laptop.
Oh, yeah, sure. With Staples Hot Deals, you can save up to $300 on select PCs for school.
Wait. The finances are mom's department.
Right.
I'm looking for performance, like a Core i7 processor.
Boy, first grade has really changed.
Tell me about it.
Save big on tech for school with super low Staples Hot Deals. Right now, get up to $300 off select PCs at Staples. Ends 8/24.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A home in Walworth County was destroyed after an explosion there. Happened Tuesday afternoon in the town of Lafayette near Elkhorn. When crews arrived to respond to the blast, they found a small fire in the basement. Elkhorn Fire Chief Trent Eichmann tells Fox 6 Milwaukee they also heard a man down there.
They did hear a voice, and they established contact with the patient. Probably took approximately 35 to 40 minutes to tunnel and extricate him out of the basement.
The man was taken by Flight for Life to a hospital for treatment. There's no word on his condition. Investigators say they don't know the cause of the explosion, though they think propane had something to do with it. The state fire marshal's office is assisting with the investigation. The deaths of a woman and her son in Adams County are being investigated as a homicide. The Adams County Sheriff's Office confirmed that Tuesday after the bodies of 62-year-old Sharon Miller and her son, 38-year-old Jamie Lumby, were found buried on property in the town of Strong's Prairie. Miller's body was discovered last week Thursday, while Lumby's body was unearthed Sunday. Autopsies on the two bodies indicate both were killed. No suspects have been identified, as evidence was submitted to the Wisconsin State Crime Lab. Wisconsin gets a shot in the arm for its biohealth efforts. Following a national competition created by the U.S. Department of Commerce, the state was named one of 12 regional tech hub finalists, earning the state $49 million in federal funding to encourage biohealth manufacturing, research efforts, and job growth. Wisconsin hopes to be a global leader in personalized medicine by creating some 30,000 jobs, which will create $9 billion in economic growth in the state over the next decade. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely today, especially this afternoon. Our high right around 81 today. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms 60. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms, high of 69. Could be some heavy rain with a half inch to an inch or more through tomorrow. Kick your summertime barbecue up a notch with Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. It's made from Grandpa's original recipe, and this stuff is wicked good. Grandpa'sBBQShop.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
You're closed, but AgriTalk is open for business. How are you celebrating today? Are you having friends over for a barbecue? Well, if you are, what's that going to cost you? We'll dive into that. And a pest from the past seems to be making a comeback in cornfields. We've got the details.
From Independence Day in the USA via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we bring you Lance Zimmerman from Rabo AgriFinance. Then it's a conversation with Aaron Hodson from Iowa State University. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis Michelson, thank you so much. Happy Independence Day, buddy.
Yeah, same to you, brother. It's a great day in America.
Great day it is, no question about it. Take a little bit of time, guys. Reflect on what it means.
Yep.
If you do, you'll gain an appreciation for what we've got around us. And take a look at what others don't have in just about any country around the globe. Take a look at it and it makes you appreciate what we've got, doesn't it, buddy?
It absolutely does. We've got a lot to be proud of here in the United States of America.
No doubt. No doubt. Yep. Be proud to fly that flag, not just today, but every day. And it'll change your attitude.
Yep.
It will change your attitude if you do it. Here we are. What's are you barbecuing today, bud?
Yes, there are briquettes that are at risk even as
good.
We speak. Yes.
Good.
Yes. How about
good.
You?
That's
you get all
fantastic.
Fancy with the grilling. You're like kind of the advanced course. I'm just like sort of if I can get something heated up, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Get it heated up without doing serious damage to the neighborhood.
Yep.
It's all good.
If the garage is still standing at the end of July 4th, we'll call it a win.
Love it. Love it. love it. All right. Well, the markets are closed today, but as I said, we are open for business, including Davis taking a look at the news. What do you got, man?
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is kind of look back on some other stories that we've discussed and just give you a chance to kind of air them out a little bit. And let's begin here, where for the first half of 2024, the Dow was up 3.8%, the NASDAQ gained 18.1%, and the S&P 500 moved up 14.5%. Chip, the stock market has put out an impressive performance the first half of this year.
Yeah.
Lately here, seems like we're faltering just a little bit.
Well, and it even as the market was moving higher, it seemed like it was climbing a wall of worry on many days, wondering exactly what the next move from the Fed is going to be on interest rates and monetary policy. The equities market has been fed a fairly consistent dose of money, of incentive to move higher, just based on the idea that government spending to support the economy is going to continue. And while we've seen some action from the Fed to slow down inflation and to slow down, I shouldn't say to slow down economic growth, but that seems to be the impact that it's having now, the higher interest rates. So when are we going to see that interest rate cut? That's the big question the market's going to look at in the second half of the year.
Well, from what comes up, also must come down file, lumber prices have tumbled into building season, a sign the residential construction market is buckling under those high borrowing costs. Lumber futures prices have fallen 27% since mid-March, while wood is piled up and pushed cash prices even lower. The rally in lumber prices, man, had our attention there for a while. Now she's taking her right back.
Right. And it seems like there's a pause in the housing build, the new construction. And costs obviously have something to do with that. The rates on the financing obviously has something to do with that. But on the other hand, look at what the average home price is and what the average selling price is. It's not backing off. And part of the reason for that is a lack of supply. Well, usually a lack of supply means plenty of incentive to go ahead and construct new homes. Yeah. But we're just not seeing that activity right now. It's a weird time in the real estate industry.
Yep. And I'll skip ahead to this one. Home affordability in the United States, the lowest since 2007. Cost of a typical home, including mortgage payments, property insurance, and taxes, it's about 35% of the average wage. That's from the second quarter, according to analysis from Atom. It's the affordability that's crushing us.
Absolutely. And it's not just the cost of the home. It's
right.
Or the interest that you're paying. It is the insurance. Well, we had Phil Flynn from Price Futures Group, energy analyst at Price Futures, had him on the show yesterday. Hey, we're looking at record electricity prices. Okay? It's powering the home. It is everything associated with, well, and it, when you got to get a repair done, if you can find somebody that's going to come do it, what's it going to cost you? It's not inexpensive to own a home.
No. Here's another important one. We've talked about this quite a bit. I just want to give you a chance to kind of touch the bag if you want to. The Supreme Court last week, 6-3 ruling along ideological lines, overturned the Chevron doctrine and handed authority back to Congress and the courts. The Chevron doctrine previously allowed agencies to interpret vague laws. Overturning the Chevron doctrine shifts more responsibility to Congress to directly address policy issues with new laws. I see good and bad here. To the good, we get these agencies out of here. We get actual legislation from Congress. To the bad, it takes Congress forever to do anything, dude. I don't know how to feel about the overturn of Chevron. I feel like it's a good thing.
I feel like it's a good thing, too. And you take a look at the back page of this week's Pro Farmer, editor Brian Grady and Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer policy analyst, do a great job of going through some of the implications of the overturning of the Chevron deference. I think it's going to be good in the long run. In the short term, it's going to create a lot of court cases, and we're going to have to get through those court cases, which is going to take a period of time. I mean, years to get through some of these court cases that are going to come. But you talk about Congress not doing anything. Well, they've been able to get away with that,
sure.
Davis.
Yep.
In part because of Chevron deference. Well, they can't get away with it anymore. Boy, mm-hmm. The staff of lawmakers have always been important. They've always been an important component of how well that lawmaker can do their job. It's going to be incredibly important, the people that they have working for them going forward.
Yes. Yep.
Because if they're going to write legislation, it has to be well done, very specific, and spell out exactly what the intent of that legislation is, Davis. So maybe it's going to force them to do their job and do it more actively.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be
yes,
great.
Yes, no doubt, no doubt. All right. Hey, thank you for joining us on this Independence Day barbecue. What's it going to cost you to feed 10 people? We'll talk to Lance Zimmerman from Rabo next.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Glad that you were spending a little bit of time with us, just as we are glad that Lance Zimmerman, senior beef analyst at Rabo, is spending a little bit of time with us right now as well. Lance, welcome to AgriTalk.
Oh, thank you, and happy Independence Day to you and your listeners.
Well, yes, thank you so much. Happy 4th of July back at you. Every year, Rabo Research does a 4th of July barbecue index. We've got the details of that coming at us right now, but it's been single, or I should say double digits, to host a barbecue for 10 people, Lance, but boy, we're knocking on the door of triple digits, aren't we?
We really are. There's a variety of ways you can build these indexes. What we've done kind of behind the scenes on this one is said, if we're going to host a 4th of July barbecue for 10 folks with kind of traditional barbecue fare, what's it going to cost? And to your point, it's at $99. It's a new all-time high, and a lot of price increases across the board. Biggest percentage increases was actually on the side of soda pop, up 10%, where other items like cheese are up 7 to 8%, and then a whole slew of items kind of up in that 2 to 3% area. Ground beef kind of in the middle, right around 4% year-over-year increase.
Okay. $99 for that 10-person barbecue. It's not what it used to be, but it's still a pretty good deal, isn't it?
It really is. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, of where inflation is impacting the U.S. consumer the most, even when you look at it in the from a food perspective, retail is offering a pretty good deal comparison to restaurants. And right. I think that's one of the biggest things we see with retail today is they're experiencing excellent foot traffic. And there's a big market share battle out there among retailers as quite simply, they don't have to weigh in the labor cost and the right. increase that's coming with wages nearly as much as the restaurant business does. And what's cool about retail is there's a lot of service available at retail today. If a consumer wants to grill their own burgers, slice up their own tomatoes and get their own items kind of that they like to prepare, then they can kind of offload the labor of those other items. Maybe they buy the potato salad at the store, the baked beans ready made or whatever. So they can kind of pick and choose what they're good at or pick and choose their favorites to make and then kind of offload the service onto the rest of the deli or some of the other pre-made items that are available at retail.
Yeah. You know, it just amazes me like you said, some of the services that grocery stores do offer now, the melon that is fully prepped. All you got to do is pull the lid off and it's ready to go. If you're willing to pay for it, the services that they offer are very, you know, it's more reasonable than buying it at a restaurant, that's for sure, isn't it?
It really is. And in a day and age, well, what I should back up and say is a lot of this came out of the pandemic. We were already leaning that way. The trends were already going towards more services at retail. But the pandemic put all of those things and many things in our life into hyperdrive and really resulted in a lot more service happening at retail than ever before. And I think also some of this has been expedited as we've made a transition where the majority of our food spending dollars have come from millennials now today versus the baby boomer generation before them. Millennials place a lot of value on time. And they place a lot of value on convenience. And I think that shows up when you look at the grocery basket of millennials today.
Right. Davis Michelson is with us as well, Lance. And Davis, we talk about the affordability issue all the time on AgriTalk. The headline on the index press release that you guys put out, Lance, is consumers battle fatigue over food inflation. I think that's a great way of putting it, just simply because I don't know if we've seen a huge shift in how consumers are shopping yet. But it feels like there might be one coming, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. When we look at this, I think we've had a situation where a lot of the macro economists across the U.S. and globally have been talking about recession risk. Yeah. Well, we've all kind of seen those forecasts get walked back. And now they're just saying, you know, it's more of an economy that's just stagnant, just an economy that's under stress. And when you look at a lot of the consumer sentiment indexes, they kind of reflect the same thing, that the current situation for the consumer in a lot of these sentiment indexes, they're holding their personal lives together, but the consumer continues to have a gloomy outlook for the future, and that weighs down those sentiment indexes. Yeah. And I think that as consumers continue to weigh what the future looks like versus their current situation and kind of continuing to try and make ends meet, it is leaning more and more into their purchasing decisions. I think Right. It'll be fascinating as we get to the end of the third quarter and look back on the summer vacation season to Yeah. See how we start to see some influences there, and then back to school season and start to make some of those comparisons. I think consumer choices are shifting. Some of them because of the pandemic, some because of generational differences, but I think the economic side of that equation will weigh more heavily as we look at things towards the end of the year.
Yeah. Yep. As I mentioned at the start of the conversation here, Lance, you are the senior beef analyst at Rabo. Beef, the resiliency of the demand for beef is nothing short of astonishing, really. When we think about, you know, a $230 box beef market right now and a retail price that it kind of makes people flinch when they look at a package of steaks at the grocery store, but the beef is still moving, isn't it?
It really is. There have been two surprises as I kind of look at this U.S. market in 2024 through the first half of the year. One has been that actually as we rounded out the end of this second quarter, that per capita supplies would actually be bigger than a year ago. I didn't have that on my bingo card of possibilities for this year. But when you have double-digit percent increases in imports, when you have steer carcass weights that are running, you know, 35 pounds above year ago in the current day and age of where we're at, you're able to offset some slaughter decline. And so that was a big shock to me. Yeah. And then in light of those supplies being steady to somewhat bigger than a year ago on average across the entire first 6 months of this year, that prices at retail would be record high. As we look at April and May's data set in particular, knocking on the door of $8 a pound over the course of the entire all fresh price that the USDA posts, it's resulting in the last 12 months, beef demand's been up about 4% compared to a year ago. So again, coming back to that idea of are we going to enter into a recession? Well, it certainly is not showing up in the beef demand side of things. And I like to tell our cattle producing and beef processing friends that beef is expensive. We're not going to win any price wars against pork and poultry. But the U.S. consumer's telling us time and time again, beef is expensive, but it's worth it. And that's good news if you're in the beef industry, because we can't compete on volume like pork and poultry can, but we can compete on experience. We can compete on taste. We can compete on flavor. And that's proving to be a good move by the beef industry, as they kind of made that decision. They were going to focus a little bit more on quality, you know, decades ago, and we're reaping the benefits of that today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're killing 83% choice and prime, where 10 years ago, Lance, that would have been unthinkable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was looking at the data, and again, we're only beginning to start to see the effects of culling 3.5 million cows out of the beef cow herd over the last 5 to 6 years now. But actually, with gains we've made in quality grade just recently, we actually, over the last several weeks, killed about 20,000 more prime and choice cattle that qualified for those grades each week over the last 4 weeks. And so there's still a lot of abundance and quality out there. And that works well in a retail environment, because when you have that significant of an increase, processors usually they do a good job of forecasting supply, but not 20,000 head gap type forecast in supply. Right. So there's some really good deals out there. There's some deals out there as limited time offers. There's deals out there on feature. Yep. So when we think about this barbecue index, shoppers looking for value are going to get rewarded.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Lance, we're out of time. Go throw a steak on the grill and enjoy the rest of your fourth.
Will do. Same to you all.
All right. Thank you so much. That is Lance Zimmerman, a senior beef analyst at Rabo AgriFinance. We're going to come back and talk about corn boar next here on AgriTalk.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Happy 4th of July. Glad that you decided to spend a little bit of time with us. And Davis is here, too.
You betcha. Wouldn't miss it, brother.
Wouldn't miss it. Excellent. Because this is a conversation that I did not anticipate having in 2024. But here we are. Aaron Hodson is a professor at Iowa State. Extension entomologist there at Iowa State, and she joins us right now. Aaron, thank you so much for making time.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Okay. Well, when I see that you guys are having a field day focused on corn borer, I got to get in touch and say, what in the heck is going on? That's a blast from the past right there. What's going on?
I know, it's kind of like Back to the Future. Ashley and I wanted to spread the word about European corn borer. It seems like it's a corn pest that many of us in the Corn Belt haven't really had to think about. But there's been some performance issues in Canada and most recently in Connecticut where people are planting BT corn and still noticing some of the effects of successful survivorship and plant injury. And so I just wanted to raise awareness, especially if you haven't been farming for 30 years, or maybe you haven't been working in industry for 30 years, you may not know what it even looks like.
Right. Right. Yeah. We'll get into what to look for to see if you do have a problem. But Aaron, I remember very, very well when BT corn came on the market and all the refuge that issues that were dealt with at that time so that we could delay the resistance that I think a lot of people were convinced would happen at some point. Is that what we're getting to? Is the bug becoming resistant to the technology?
Yeah, there is some discrepancy between maybe universities and industry on what label to call this. But at the end of the day, larvae are successfully feeding and developing through that BT. So whether it's resistance or whatever term you want to put on it, it's not working in some areas as well as it used to be. And this is really probably the greatest example of technology benefiting, you know, a very large area of North America, including the U.S. and Canada. And yeah, I mean, like all things like insecticides or transgenics, you know, they only last so long. And so it is just starting to pop up in small pockets. And I wouldn't say it's issue for the Corn Belt, but for those people that don't use BT, like sweet corn, in some cases, popcorn, white corn. Just to know that corn borers are still in the landscape at a really low level, but just to be able to recognize the injury is really important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the thing is, insects are unbelievably adaptable to changing conditions, aren't they?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yep. They have a really quick turnover in the case of corn borers. It's anywhere from, you know, 1 to 4 generations per year. Most of the Corn Belt would probably have 2 generations per year, and they produce a lot of offspring. They can move long distances in a lifetime, so it just is a kind of a scenario for them to disperse their genetics if they happen to be successful at overcoming a strategy like BT.
Okay, so what is the current status of the population of corn borer? Is it growing even here in Iowa?
I wouldn't say that it's growing, but for those farms that have non-BT, it tend to be congregated. You know, if they're growing it for food grade, you know, they might have a large part of the farm with not expressing BT. And that's where corn borer has been an issue in some parts of Iowa and popcorn farms, for example. But overall, it's performing very well still to this day since, you know, 1996. And it's been really effective for those people who do use BT in the landscape.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Now, before BT, the amount of damage that these bugs caused was phenomenal. Whether it was through eardrop or opening up that plant to other diseases, it was incredible.
It's a fantastic pest in a way that It only takes one or two corn borers before you can have an ear drop off, or the stalks get really squishy, and you know they're hard to harvest. And you're right, it's a fantastic pest to deal with.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely incredible damage potential.
Yeah. Billions, in the mid-90s, early 90s, it was called the billion-dollar bug, and today it would be even $1 billion would be a conservative estimate.
Yeah, with the value of seed costs and other chemical costs it takes to grow corn, the economic potential is even greater than it was in the 90s.
Right. Okay. Not everybody has been around long enough to see corn borer damage. What are you looking for?
Yeah, and right now you would be when corn is in the vegetative state, you're looking for shot holes or pinholes. They look kind of like the folding dolls of, you know, when you cut out paper dolls. So it's a repeating patterns of shot holes. But you're also going to see lots of like oatmeal frass in the whorl. Later on, starting this month, when we have silks and tassels, they are strongly attracted to feeding around the ear and then entering the ear. So again, you might see entry holes. They're about the size of a pencil eraser, or just a ton of frass, like that oatmeal-like frass coming out of those holes as they're feeding and burrowing down into the stalk.
Okay. And you guys are having a field day.
Yeah, this is at no cost to you type of field day, thanks to Bayer Crop Science. They're sponsoring this field day where we've infested hundreds of plants with corn borers, so you're very likely to see injury in the vegetative and reproductive state. And it's at Feel, which is a demonstration farm in between Ames and Boone, Iowa, on July 17th.
July 17th. How do they get more information on it?
Yeah, you can visit our ICM website. It's crops.extension.iastate.edu. Or if you can find me on the internet, it's not hard to find me on Twitter or X at Aaron W. Hodson. And I'm talking about it a lot just to, again, raise awareness about recognizing the pest and the injury it creates.
Right. So what should people expect if they sign up for this field day and participate?
Yeah, we are having, I'm really thankful to have some old school entomologists. They have been working with corn borers from the USDA lab here in Ames, and that's, you know, a big part of their research program. So they are going to show us how to scout, how to distinguish corn borers from other little brown moths that you're going to see in some of the pheromone traps. Mm-hmm. And then we just, as I said, we had infested a couple different stages of corn so that people can see what like that real high level, high density injury can look like.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking about the moths, I mean, back in the day when corn borer seemed like it was everywhere because it was.
Yeah.
The moth flights would just leave your vehicle filthy overnight. We're not talking about getting back to that, are we?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think we'll never let it return to that level, just with some of the technology we have right now. But, I think because they're highly mobile, they're looking for mating sites, they're looking for mates, they move between grasses and crops, corn, during the morning and the evening. So, yeah, I think people do remember a time when you would drive at night and your windshield would just be absolutely covered with these moths. Yeah. And I hope we never get to that point again, but I think people are just more savvy about scouting and treatment options right now.
Yeah, very good. So this year started early for a lot of bugs, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it was, I think, one of the warmest winters we've ever had in the Corn Belt, and so that just means things get started faster, and the likelihood of them surviving mild winters also increase. So just, we started off with alfalfa weevils and everything else at a higher level than we would normally this spring.
Yeah, okay, alfalfa weevils. I've heard the reports on that. Anything else that we need to be watching for this year, Aaron? You know, here we are, 4th of July. It's going to be time to check things out.
Yeah, I think a pest that farmers actually have to think about right now in the Corn Belt, of course, would be corn rootworm. Western corn rootworm and northern corn rootworm probably impacts nearly every corn grower in this area. And so that's happening right now. Larvae are feeding and they're wrapping up their that part of their life cycle. We should start to see adults out in a week or two, depending on where your listeners are at. But that is a pest that is a persistent, also economically important pest. So cornworm is probably number one.
So what are we looking for? What's the telltale signs of rootworm issues?
Well, early on, they can clip silks and interfere with pollination, and that's a really important stage of the crop to protect. But at the same time, you see adults, you could be assessing for root injury, which is oftentimes overlooked if you have a good corn stand. And so digging up corn plants and looking for injury is really one of the most accurate ways you can predict yield losses for that season. And then maybe if you're going to switch it up for the next growing season, it gives you some time to make some seed and chemical choices for next
right.
year.
Excellent. Okay, details on the corn borer field day again. Give them to us.
Yeah. Well, if you'd be able to find the registration and the details for when and where and all that at crops.extension.iastate.edu. And again, it's July 17th, just west of Ames, Iowa, so kind of right in the middle of the state.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for making time for us, Aaron. We sure appreciate
it. It was fun.
All right.
Thanks.
You bet. Aaron Hodson, professor and extension entomologist at Iowa State University. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up this 4th of July edition of AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Cesar Milan. People are always commenting on how happy and healthy my dogs are. One of the reasons is the food my dogs eat.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a premium freeze-dried raw dog food designed to support your dog's health, happiness, and lifespan.
Their joints are more flexible, their teeth are cleaner, and their coat shinier. And why they seem more youthful even as they age.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. I've helped countless dogs thrive with one simple concept. Your dog needs a high meat diet, similar to what their ancestors ate in the wild.
Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend using 50 years of nutritional research and experience, helping dogs make incredible turnarounds. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Crispies, their wild-caught, ultra-crunchy cod skin treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text GOOD to 511-511.
Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee.
All dogs are unique. Your dog results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Out there, it lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable.
If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah. So I got 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
You can't see us, and we can't see you, so don't go changing. Listen just the way you are to AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. So glad you've chosen to spend some time with us this morning. So pleased to be here with you. Chip Flory joins as well.
Yeah, baby.
Your pal, Davis Michelson here. A couple of really, really great conversations here. Some unexpected things I feel like were said. Let's start with the conversation with Lance Zimmerman from Rabo, talking beef. Retail food, apparently enjoying good foot traffic. People still out shopping. You know, they want to shop for themselves. What was interesting was who was getting the nod for food expenditures. Used to be the boomers. They were the big ones. Sounds to me like the millennials have kind of taken over that role, and they have different ideas about what they want to eat, don't they?
And how they want to prepare. The level of preparedness and ready to consume that they're willing to pay for at the grocery level has brought all kinds of services onto those grocery stores. Yep. I mean, you know, Hy-Vee used to just be the aisles. And yes, we know there was a happy smile in every aisle. We get that.
Can confirm. Yeah.
Yep. but now when you walk in, the first thing you do, the first thing you see is how many organic items they've got available in the produce department today. Here's where you go if you want it completely prepared and ready to go for you. Here's where you go if you want to do things, you know, from scratch, I guess. It's really pretty cool what you walk into now.
It's actually a lot longer walk to get to the scratch ingredients. Well, unless you're going produce.
It is.
But you've got your, let's just say, at many of these grocery stores, you got your clamshells of, you know, maybe you got some, like a turkey bacon wrap or something.
Yeah.
You've got things that you can just grab quick, maybe some veggie trays if you're having a quick party. You don't have to stand there and cut up your own broccoli. I get it.
Right?
It's convenient. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, exactly. But boy, $8 for an, you know, for an all, $8 a pound on beef for an average price. Whoo, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I said to Lance, you and I talk about affordability a lot on the show, and we talk about it for a reason, because one of the things that will happen at some point is demand is going to change for beef. It's not going to be the supportive factor that it has been for years.
Yeah.
It will change at some point. We just need to be on the watch for it and make sure that we understand that when it does happen, it's going to be negative on cattle prices. It just will be.
Yep. Well, and we're seeing that reflected at least a little bit in futures here, but Zimmerman was talking about a beef demand up 4% year on year. I mean, it's not a huge jump. I don't know what the typical jump is from year to year, or you know what it looks like.
Percentage points mean so much in the meat markets. Whether you're talking about a 1% increase in supply or a 1% increase in demand, it matters, and it matters big time. And it's part of the reason that we've got the heavyweight choice box beef. You know, it was $230 earlier this week. It's just an incredible market, no doubt.
Let's move on to the conversation with Aaron Hodson, because it struck me as an odd time to be talking about this. But there are some things that are coming up on Professor Hodson's radar really soon. She's saying we may begin to see signs of adults here out in the crops as early as next week, Chip.
And I don't think that I'm not getting the impression that this is going to be a major problem for everyone. I'm not getting that impression from the conversation with Aaron. But for those that do have a problem with a population that has created some resistance, whether it be on the corn borer side or the rootworm side, if you're dealing with it, holy smokes, man, you got to go back to using insecticides in some cases, and that's people don't want to do that. And I don't blame you, guys. I don't blame you for not wanting to use that we used to dump on crops in a in kind of a haphazard way. I don't want to deal. I wouldn't want to deal with them right now. Either. I just don't. I wouldn't want to. So I don't blame you. So monitoring the situation, doing what we can to control these populations as effectively as we can with the technology that's available to us, man, that's got it's got to be up the priority list. And maybe it's priority one for some producers, but it's got to move up the priority list for the industry in general.
Well, and that's interesting. If we're talking about bugs becoming resistant, you know, I'm sort of curious about that tipping point. At some point, a farmer reaches the breaking point and says, "Ah, I got to do something different." Do you have a sense of what that tipping point may or at least ought to look
like?
Well,
I think on rootworm we're there. There's enough damage happening from rootworms out there that for many producers, we're at that tipping point. Corn borer, it sounds like if you're out in Connecticut, you're having to deal with the issues, and that is not going to be fun for anybody if all of a sudden corn borer is something that we got to do battle with, old school battle with. I just don't want to have to see that happen.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Do you have the details on the field day that Professor Hodson was talking about? I couldn't get them all written down. It was a really
July
long
17th.
URL. There you go.
Yeah, July 17th. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. It's between Ames and Boone is the location. Just go to Iowa State Extension to get the details on it, okay? That'd be the place to go to get the details. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Have a great 4th of July. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Chris Barron from AgView Solutions. And tomorrow morning, right here on AgriTalk, we got the free-for-all.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk.